Wayne Dunn has won it.
A genius in the saddle.
Grabbed by Exceder to Bronfler, and Exceder's on the corner.
Chautauqua's flying home. He's flying. They hit the line. A photo.
And he's giving us the inside word on the best riders and the biggest races.
But I think this could be the Cox Plate winner.
He's the analyzer, Dwayne Dunn.
Yes, it's great to speak to RSN Spring Carnival analyzer Dwayne Dunn. Each and every Thursday, he gives us the insights for all the major races. Good morning, Dwayne.
Good morning, Michael. Great to be here.
Gee, this is an intriguing Underwood, isn't it? It's disappointing we've only got five runners. Zaki has scared away the opposition. Did you ride in many races where there was only maybe three, four or five runners, especially a major race that could become just a tactical affair?
Yeah, it wasn't too many major races. Obviously, you go through these in a lot of country meetings and with less fields, but it's unusual to see a field like this, such minimal runners, but the quality's there. I think Craig just goes straight to the lead and dominates here. I think he's going to control it, put his foot on the pedal when he thinks so, and as James McDonald has already put out into the media, that it should be a sit steer. So he looks like he's on his way.
I suppose someone like Willow, who's flying at the moment, the Cox Plate's his main aim in a few weeks. Do you try and give him as soft a run as possible, or do you really want to open him up and give him a nice run leading into a Cox Plate?
I think he's got to be here to do some work. I thought Craig was disappointing at Caulfield the other day. I think he can ride that track much better than what he has, and unfortunately got suspended as well there. But he bounced back yesterday at Flemington, and Flemington really suits his style of riding. And, he returned to the Willow of old and, got the job done yesterday. So I just see him taking control of this race, take it by the throat, dominate it, and go on from there. It's interesting reading that James McDonald's still got his hand in the mix for this horse in the Cox Plate. So Craig will be trying to prove that he needs to stay on it. He's very good at jumping on and off horses throughout the spring. And, he's got a great management team around him that seem to find these horses and know when they're going to peak in what races. And I think that's where Craig's ability is, that he knows how to find these horses.
How difficult is that, the juggling act, when you've got fingers in so many pies? He's been announced as the rider of Spanish Mission during the week, but you might want to jump off one and get on another within a week in the Spring Carnival.
Yeah, that's right. It's a management issue, and it's keeping your allies close and just trying to keep everyone as happy as possible. It is a little bit more difficult trying to do that throughout the Spring Carnival, but it is a ruthless game, and we're all there trying to get the right result and win the race. So everything that needs to be done will be done, and Craig's very good on the telephone. He'll be trying to massage them the best he can and try and get the right rides.
Until yesterday, you said Craig was disappointing at Caulfield the way he was riding. Is there a jockey that you've seen over the last week or so that is really in the zone to your eye?
Yeah, I think just to go back to Craig, he was very cautious. He was cautious at Bendigo. He, no doubt, got in the back of his mind suspensions. And, I thought he could have been a bit more bullish on Behemoth and pushed out underneath Nick Ryan's horse. And then he ended up, bowling him over late in that race where he probably shouldn't have. And then in the last race, he stayed in and waited and waited. He probably could have pushed a bit earlier. That horse was able to get him out of trouble, Nipper Bellatina. So I thought Craig was probably riding a little bit too cautious there with being mindful of being suspended, and that's probably what brought him undone. But I thought Jordan Child's done a great job on non-conformist. The pressure was on. He had to put his hand up to make sure that got the job done. Graham Begg was expectations were really high, and Geordie delivered. But it was just outstanding for Daniel Moore to be able to win his first Group 1 in Australia. He flies under the radar. He's a lightweight rider that rides really well. And as he showed, given the opportunities, he can get the job done. And that's a big moment for him. I think that might have just delivered him a better opportunity on some better rides throughout the spring. And going into Group 1 races, we've got to sort of go into the race on Friday night, and it's outstanding to see that Liam Riordan's got a ride in a Group 1 race. It's, even though it's an outsider in the field, it's a big, big, big privilege to be able to ride in Group 1 races.
Absolutely, and it's a lot more competitive than Moya. I just had a good chat to Mick Price about Profiteer, and he said, look, it's just the way the horse runs. He's going to be fast. We just don't know if we want, or we don't want too many people attacking him. So if you're Jai McNeil and Profiteer, what are you doing? What are your tactics? Is it just try and keep him together as long as possible?
Yeah, well, this isn't my only real concern with Profiteer is the valley. If you go back through his form, he's always run on big open tracks, so he hasn't seen that gate speed that you see at Moonee Valley from the time you leave the machine to get your positions, where those big tracks afford you an opportunity to just take your time to build up and get there. So I think he's got a whole new ball game ahead of him here, which I'm just not sure whether the valley will be ideal for him. If he does get a ride, he's going to be very, very hard to beat. You know, he's a good horse. Mick Price knows how to produce these horses. He's done it year in, year out. And, you know, if the valley does bring this horse undone, I think Brooklyn Hustle is the one that flies first time out. She loves the valley. If she can get the right run in behind him and on a hot speed, gets through the corner nicely, I think you'll see her turn a foot. And I think she can be hard to beat in this race.
What do you do if you're John Allen on September run from gate one? Is it you've just got to hope for luck?
Yeah, he's just got to take his medicine here. She was very good at the valley late. She's no doubt a much better horse down the straight, as we're alluding to before, Craig Williams jumping on and off. Obviously, Craig's jumped off September run and got on tracking. But Johnny Allen has to take his medicine. He knows he's going to be half, three-quarters of the way back. He's going to have to duck and weave, and hopefully those inside horses are moving away from rail to make their runs and open up some space for him, because if he gets it, he's going to charge late. You know, he can finish solid, but he just got to get that corner right and get clean air in the home running.
1,000 metres around the valley for a horse that gets back like Brooklyn Hustle, like the Inferno September run. What's your tactic? When do you want to get going?
Yeah, the tricky bit I find at Moonee Valley is the turn from off the back straight to the Tabaret there. It's just getting through that section properly. Some horses get bottled up on rail. The outside horses turn better than the inside, and they can just jam up a little bit through that section of the race. And the other thing you don't want to be doing is, pulling to 4, 5, 6 wide and cartwheeling too wide on the home bend and losing ground. You're wanting to try and apex that corner properly, slice in underneath them, and then get clean air as you come off that bend into the home straight. That's where you can put a little bit of pressure on horses to your outside to move them to manipulate a bit of a run. So you've just got to get that section of the race right, and then hopefully they've gone fast enough to allow you the opportunity to finish strong and claim them down the outside.
One of the other interesting runners of the weekend is 1,000 Guineas favourite Zuzarella. It goes around at Sandown, has drawn the outside again. Speaking to Sam Freeman, he thinks that she can take a position when she finally draws a good gate. If you're Brett Prebble and Zuzarella, her final lead-up run before the 1,000 Guineas, are you taking a risk and pressing forward, or are you just riding to the percentages and letting her find her feet around Sandown?
I'll be looking at just riding the percentages here. She's proved that she can sit wide and just be too good. She looks to have the wood on these. I think Brett can afford not to do anything silly here and try and gas this horse. He knows this isn't the grand final, but he can afford to be a little bit cautious early, try and get in that 3-wide line, hopefully with a bit of cover, and her class should take her all away. As I say, sticky barrier, but I think he'd probably rather draw there than barrier one. And hopefully when he gets 1,000 guineas, it can draw sort of 4, 5, 6 and take a position closer to the lead than what she has done. And, it looks like those options going forward are really going to be really right up her alley. I thought the other one in this race, Mac and Cheese, ran really well the other day. Could be her hardest opposition.
It looks an open 1,000 guineas this year. If you weren't on Zuzarella, but you're looking for a ride in the 1,000 guineas, are there any that maybe we haven't seen come through at the moment that could be a future 1,000 guineas hope?
No, I don't think so. I think rightfully this horse is should be favourite for the race, depending if something comes down from Sydney. But I can't see anything else stepping out of the woodwork at this stage.
You've got your Cox Plate winner in action in the Golden Rose on Saturday. You're still confident with your Cox Plate call, Adamo?
I certainly am. I think now the run's under his belt, he'll be a lot fitter. It's a really high class race. You go through that, it's just the depth is right there. So this is an outstanding field, as you'd expect for a Group 1 race. But I think from the barrier, he affords a nice run in the middle of this field, and hopefully this is another step forward for him, and he can take his position going into a Cox Plate with a lot shorter in the market, put it that way.
Is Artorias, do you think, a miler or a sprinter?
Jury's still out. I think maybe a run-on sprinter, but still mindful. I just want to see this trip to Sydney. I think that's like a gallop for him. Should be peaking fitness here. No excuses after Saturday.
All right, Duane, if there's one horse you could ride all weekend, who would it be?
Oh, you've got me last week. Willow got me last week. I'm going to stick with Animo. I think you'll end up being about $2.50, and there's something for the punters. They're not $1.28 like Zaki, but, I think Animo to keep on the winning way.
I thought you might have gone Brooklyn Hustle. We're about to have a chat to Jason Warren.
Well, I've already put it out there. I think it should be a nice price. It's a good even field, and one thing with her, she is outstanding at the Valley, and first up record is, you know, A1. So if she's ever going to do it over the 1,000 metres, this will be it.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Dwayne, have a good weekend. We'll catch up next week.
Thank you, Michael. Always a pleasure.